Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey. I'm going to play Erykah Badu. Orange Moon.
I'm an orange moon. I'm an orange moon, reflecting the light of the sun. than before, brighter. Reflecting the light of the sun.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, Your Love Experience with Janine and Ingram. We got to get ready and turn within, recognizing that there is only one power and one presence. And on this line, we recognize that Great Spirit is God, the good, the omnipotent, everywhere present, knowing that there is not a spot that our God is not. So right now, as we move into the energy of forgiveness, I want us to just take in a deep breath and breathe, family. Sometimes we forget to breathe. And so I want us to breathe in through the nose, hold it to the point of vibration, hold it to the count of eight, then release the breath. And remember to breathe deep into the diaphragm and into the heart. So right now, I want you to breathe. Be still and know that I am God. Breathe, family. And release. Let's breathe again. Be still and know that I am God. Let's breathe and release. And last time, let's breathe. Be still and know that I am God. Breathe. And release. And as we call forth the energy of forgiveness, let's release, family.
Day 14, a prayer of forgiveness. Today, I forgive myself for judging my partner and ex-partner. Dear God, once again, I lay my weapons down. This time, I really mean it. This time, I really open my heart. This time, I really surrender my hurts and judgments. This time, I ask for and open myself to know the part of me that is being revealed in the behavior of my partner and my ex-partner. I ask to know and see it. I ask to acknowledge and heal it. I forgive myself for making this so hard on myself and for blaming someone else for the pain I have endured. I let it be, and so it is.
When you realize that whatever it is that is eating you, whatever it is that you're running from, whatever it is that you're afraid of, you just have to stop, take a deep breath, turn around, and face it. Face it. Stick your arms out as wide as you can and embrace it. Hold on real tight. You see, the tighter you hold on to it, the smaller it gets. And you just embrace it and embrace it until you find yourself embracing yourself. Then you can move on with peace of mind and all that stuff. Just leave it behind. Sometimes you won't understand why life is the way it is. Things don't always go the way you plan them, but I believe God and time are synonymous, and through time God reveals all things. You gotta be still, stand in love, and pay attention.
Testify,
oh, gotta tell my story.
Testify, testify.
Thank you so much.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, A Love Experience with Janine and Ingram. And we're going to get started. I want to get started with a little clip from Oprah. Because today what I want to talk about is the emotional energy that shows up in our physical presence. And so the first clip is called, it's a minute and 53 seconds, called The Question to Ask.
Beneath the surface of all things is the true thing. In all circumstances, look for the truth of what is really happening. No matter who you are, no matter how strongly and fiercely you can stand in the spiritual path, crisis is going to come. And you know, when crisis comes, the first thing I ask it is, what are you here to teach me? What are you here to teach me? When betrayal comes, when devastation comes, when loss comes, the first thing you ask it is, what are you here to teach me? And when you can do that, it mitigates the loss because you get clarity about why this is really happening. It lessens the struggle. It loosens it up, and it becomes easier to bear because you understand, oh, I brought this on myself. I knew he was. I felt, I kind of suspected he was cheating. This. I don't believe in failure. I believe failure is just information. It is information and an opportunity to change your course. Hi, YouTubers. I'm excited to give you an update about our own YouTube.
So I just wanted you to think about that for a minute. When something is arising in our life, what is the universe expressing through us in that right then moment? When pain shows up in the body, what is it expressing through us? And I want you to hear this next clip, and then we're going to talk about the emotional response to a physical process.
The truth is, you don't have anything to give that you don't have. So you have to keep your own self full. That's your job. You know, one of my daughters is here today from Oprah Winfrey Leadership Academy. Stand up today so everybody can see you. You're going to end your first year soon. Oh, my God. First year. I say to my girls all of the time that your real work is to figure out where your power base is and to work on the alignment of your personality, your gifts that you have to give, with the real reason why you're here. That's the number one thing you have to do, is to work on yourself. And to fill yourself up and keep your cup full. Keep yourself full. Now, I used to be afraid of that. I used to be afraid, particularly from people who say, oh, she's so full of herself. She's so full of herself. And now I embrace it. I consider it a compliment that I am full of myself. Because yeah. You only when you're full... I'm full, I'm overflowing, my cup runneth over. I have so much to offer and so much to give. And I am not afraid of honoring myself. You know, it's miraculous when you think about it. First of all, for me, my father and mother never married. They had sex one time underneath an oak tree because she was wearing a poodle skirt in 1953. And my dad, to this day, says, I want to know what's under that skirt. That's what I want to know. He wanted to know what was under the skirt. They didn't really have a relationship. She wanted one, but, you know, he went under the skirt and then that was it. And one time, under the oak tree, bam, Renaissance
woman is born. It happened there.
That's why I know my life is bigger than that. My life has to be bigger, as yours is, bigger than a moment, than a poodle skirt. It's much bigger. The design, the reason why I'm here is much bigger than, oh, I think I want to see what's under there. So the ability to take care of that, to honor yourself and that which is greater than yourself, that which was the reason for your being here, that there's no selflessness in that. Because only through that do you have the ability to offer yourself, your whole self, your full expression of who you are to the rest of the world.
So our only job on the planet is to what? Master ourselves. And the universe is constantly, constantly showing us and giving us signs. And one of the ways that the universe signs show up is in the body. Yep, in the body. Think about pain, which is an acronym for pay attention inward now. One of the things that show up in our body, to give us an example of that, is when pain is showing up in our body, what is it that it wants to say to us? What does it mean? So I was reading this article I want to share with you. And the reason why I was reading this article is I found it because I was looking up my clavicle bone. Because those of you all who were on the call yesterday, I told you that I was listening to Jerome Rag, had to go deeper into the healing, and then it showed up in my physical pain. I told you, look, Jerome was inviting us all to take our wound, something that was particularly going on in our life that was repetitive. And some reason, money came up. And I thought, oh, okay, and I told you the story, remember, the years ago about me asking my sister when I finally moved in with her and how she, the energy that came off made me feel like, oh, I was a burden and all that stuff. And I said, I wasn't going to never ask anybody. And I had did the work I told you about my mom. But this time, another story came up, which I hadn't really had in my mind. But Saturday it came up, and I told you about, you know, I was on the phone with my two little high school girlfriends. I wanted to take a dance class, and the phone rings on the other line, and I tell the guy, he said, oh, come by and get the money to leave. When I get there, he knocks me down, and I'll tell you all about this rape process and all that stuff. So I'm crying, going back home. I told you that yesterday, right? But the part I really didn't get to was the part where after that, you know, I started journaling and crying and going through my process on Saturday. And then Sunday, I woke up with this horrendous pain on my right side. And I thought at first it was muscle. So, you know, I thought it was in my neck and in the, you know, shoulder and stuff. So I go get a massage. And the massage I feel a little better, but it didn't really do nothing. And I said, well, let me see what's really, only to really feel like there's, you know, something different going on. It wasn't really muscle. So when I looked up clavicle pain, I've never had clavicle pain, the collarbone pain. I didn't even know the collarbone could have pain. It's hard to talk. It's hard to swallow. If I laugh too hard, it just hurt. It just totally hurt on my right side. So I was reading this article about physical pain and their metaphysical meaning. And the clavicle means on the right side is the masculine energy. And how I navigate the masculine energy with money. Is that the most interesting thing that happened? Because I told you the whole reason why I was at the house, because he said, come back, get the money for your dance class. Only to move into trying to beat me up and knock me down and all the stuff I told you about yesterday. And then I was like, it's interesting how, if you remember, I told you how he had his elbow, his forearm in my neck, and it was on the right side. And so I was wondering if the pain
was showing up in my body and was hidden in the body. So I was reading it, called Physical Pain and the Metaphysical Meaning. So let me just read this to you because I want to go over some of the things that pain in the body means. Everything on the physical plane is a manifestation of something on the metaphysical plane. Let me say that again. Everything on the physical plane is a manifestation of something on the metaphysical plane. And if you don't know what metaphysical means, meta is another word for beyond, beyond the physical. When we speak of abundance, what we really are talking about is an abundance of emotional, mental, and spiritual energy. We fill ourselves to the brim with these energies, and it is the overflow that manifests on the physical plane. You see, the signs and symptoms that are apparent on the physical plane lead us to inquire ultimately more deeply into ourselves as energetic and spiritual beings. We tend to not to worry too much about this sort of thing when our body is working well. I want to say that again. We don't pay attention too much when our body is working well. We are not feeling pain or when we are not in the throes of some chronic disease. But when our body feels pains or become disabled by disease or accident, we tend to start reaching out for answers like I did, right? We want to know why, or maybe we don't even want to know why. We just want to fix it like I did. I just want to get out this pain. Realistically, when our body refuses to do what we want it to do metaphysically, it's not actually broken. It is doing its job. And one of its functions is to carry messages from the higher energetic plane to us. Let me say that again. It's not when our body is going through the process. Realistically, it's when our body refuses to do what we want to metaphysically. It's not actually broken. It is doing its job. One of its functions is to carry messages. So our body carries messages from the higher energetic plane to us. It is then up to us to interpret these messages and take action. So when you look at Western medicine, it takes the position that we feel pain because we can. And Western approach to pain as the main symptom of any disease are pretty much limited to drugs and surgery. So numbing or diverting pain receptors in the body or even cutting off the offending organ. While this approach does have its place in acute situations, it is best a temporary and often harmful way to approach pain or other disharmonies we feel in our bodies. Most often, Western medicine has little to offer most of us and incredibly makes us wait until our systems become unbearably acute before it can acknowledge the disharmony. So I want you to think about that. I'm not saying that Western medicine is bad or anything like that. This is just a perspective that they're saying that Western medicine is taking. So what I would say is I incorporate all of the medicines. Eastern medicine, Western medicine, and figure out what my body needs by listening to my body. The trend today, as much as for economic reasons, as for reasons of spirit and human development, to encourage people to take responsibility for their own lives. This is the approach of the ancient wisdom. We use our bodies to communicate with ourselves and with others. Let me say that again. In ancient wisdom, we encourage people to take responsibility for their own lives. We use our bodies to communicate with ourselves and with others. We use our bodies to work out emotional, mental, and spiritual questions. While we tend to judge a diseased body negatively, there really is no right or wrong about it. I want to stop right there. So if you remember, I was telling you about Jerome Braggs yesterday and his interview that he had, which led to where I am in this position of healing right now because of my emotional response that was hidden from still the pain of that particular situation needed to come up, and now it's time to do the work. So what happens is my body is inviting me to go deeper into that healing presence of that particular situation that arose in my mind, right? So what I want to say to you is that a diseased body is not a negative situation, is just inviting you to go deeper into your healing presence. And so because we look at a diseased body as a negative thing, and especially when we hear things like we have to be responsible for our life, our emotional is the reason why we're in this situation, our unforgiveness and all these things that show up in our emotional self shows up eventually in our physical self, we can tend to judge that situation. So I want you to look at it right now, not as a
negative. If you feel like you have weight to release or you feel like you overweight it, not negatively look at it, but look at it as a way to invite yourself to go deeper to see why did you need the weight to protect yourself. What is the story behind you gaining the particular weight to feel protected? Because our stories in our own mind come to protect us. And that was the thing that I loved the most about the interview with Jerome Braggs, is that he invited us to ask ourselves, tell ourselves that we no longer need that story no more. We no longer need, and thank the story for being a part of our lives. Thank the dysfunction or dis-ease to be a part of our lives that helped us to find a higher place. So I want you to just really marinate on that idea, because so many times we catch ourselves in a judgment place. I'm going back to the article now. The ancient tales theorized that good and bad, right and wrong, yin and yang, were just different point of views that we all adopt at one time or another. Because the earth plane is dualistic in nature, we all view at one time or another from both the yin and the yang ends of the telescope. There does not seem to be a point in judging one's good or bad, or judging one good and one evil. These just are the symptoms of being human. Still, there's a such a thing as being well, and there's a such a thing as being not well, which some people call sick. And when we get to the point where we're sick, we tend to want to do something about it. Enter the healer. A healer is trained in observation and interpretation of signs and symptoms and methods for dealing with them. Holistic healing of an individual occurs at different energy levels. These are the physical, the emotional, the mental, and the spiritual levels. For those on the path, there are a great many more levels and sub-levels identified in various cultures, religions, and philosophical traditions. But for our purpose, we're just going to look at the individual in these four broad realms to at least begin the process of healing. Healing, by the way, occurs not only at the individual level, but also at the family, community, and global level. When one heals mindfully, as the Buddhists say, these other aspects of individuals' healing may become apparent. There are healers operating today at all levels. Still, a good place to begin is in the individual body. With this in mind, the following is a list of physical symptoms and the metaphysical disharmonies they may reflect. So this is a conglomerate of Louise Hay, and her book, You Can Heal Your Life, has done some interesting work in the area. I use her book occasionally in my Reiki. Other references are traditional Chinese medicine, diagnostic principles, my own Reiki teacher, Denise Cruddle, and my own experiences. I'm reading the article. This is not me speaking. Please note that there are other general observations serving, hopefully, to eliminate areas that you can look at more closely to yourself or with the help of a healer. You are the one who knows you best. As you go through these observations, try to expand your world, your awareness beyond your own life to see also how these disharmonies are reflected in your own family, your own community, your country, and the world. Ultimately, it is our own choice to heal or to not to heal. Let me say that again. It's our own choice to heal or to not to heal. And that's what I love about spirit. It's our own choice to heal or to not to heal, our own innate healing ability that is activated when we make the choice to heal. So let's talk about the head. We're going to talk about headaches. And I want to tell you, this is a conglomerate of Louise Hay's book, Chinese Medicine, and a couple other books. A couple of books that I love is Louise Hay, and this is Janine speaking. Louise Hay and Carolyn Miss, The Anatomy of the Physical. And then I do a lot of Googling on the comedic understanding of the different body parts to come up with what is my body trying to say to me right now. So, for instance, if you have a lot of headaches, pain always indicates a separation of some sort from something. Usually we say separation from what is the truth. The greater the pain, the more important that something is. Depending on which part of the head is afflicted, the meaning changes. Now, Louise Hay suggests that headaches indicate invalidating the self out of fear. In Chinese medicine, there are several different kinds of headaches according to the quality of the pain and the location of the head. Now, the vertex is the top of the head, is associated with our connection to the universal God. Pain here is associated with the separation of our higher power. This is in the vertex part of the head. It's also associated with the kidneys, and the emotion is fear. Both the gallbladder and urinary bladder channels traverse the top of the head. The gallbladder is associated with courage. The urinary bladder, through its association with the kidneys, is associated with fear. Located at the top of the head is usually extensively to calm the spirit in Chinese medicine. So that part of when you have, so what that's saying is when you have a headache in the top part of your head, that's usually what is going on. Now the vertex is the top of the head is associated with our connect. I just read that. The forehead is associated with the third eye. Now when we have a headache in the third eye area, both in chakra theory and traditional Chinese medicine theory, the third eye is associated with introspection and illumination of your own inner being. Pain here is associated with separation from your own inner self. In Chinese medicine, which is located midway between the inner ends of the eyebrow, Du 23, and Du 24, these are like places in the brain located at the hairline directly above the yin tang. Located at the top of the head, all have the action of calming the spirit. Yin tang is associated with the eyes, not only the eyes that look outward, but the eyes that look inward. And it indicated in some emotional disorder of what is going on in your apparent life at the time. So when you have a headache in your forehead, it's usually a separation from your inner being. Now your temporal, the side of the head is associated with courage, especially courage to face your world. A migraine headache usually located in the front quadrants, right or left, indicates a separation from the world. The involvement of the eyes in migraines indicate not only an unwillingness to look without, but to look within. Most migraine sufferers report not only severe pain behind the eyes, but also acute sensitivity to light. Now, in Chinese medicine, a number of meridians run through this area. Now, the gallbladder channel is associated with courage. The Sanjiao channel is involved with processing of water, which is the elixir of life. The small intestine channel is involved with deriving nourishment from the world. And the small intestine channel are connected to the heart. Emotion is joy. So when you have the temporal headache, it's usually a signal of your life, which is the side of your head. That's the headache that you get on the side. It could be the left or the right. It's usually a lack of joy with oneself. So when this emotion of joy, where the mind is located, a lack of joy with oneself is strongly indicated by the pain in this area. There's also anger indicated by the gallbladder channel linked with the liver. So when you have a side headache, it's usually a lack of joy. And usually people who lack joy usually have some sense of anger. So that's what that headache means. Now the occipital, the back of the head. Now, this is why this part was interesting to me, the occipital, because in the back on the right-hand side, it represents your past. And I told you I was healing from something that came up from my past. I told you all about the story yesterday. So I started looking up, you know, because I have this pain is coming from the clavicle, which is the collarbone, on the right side from my neck all the way into the lower back part of my head. I'm like, wow, this is really interesting. I've never had no pain like this. And it's interesting how you never pay attention to certain parts of your body, like your clavicle or your collarbone. I'm like, I never even, you know, and how it's just going into the throat center. So I know it has something to do with suppressing. I know it has something to do with the past. And, you know, of course, all the stuff I've been reading. But here, the occipital, the back of the head represents your past. Some also say this is an area of spirituality. Pain here represents something in your past that is not complete and remains unforgiven. So, you know, I had to go back to this forgiveness work. Maybe that's why I'm the queen of forgiveness, right, y'all? The back of the head is traversed by the gallbladder channel and the urinary bladder channel, indicating anger born of fear. The back of the head is thought to be the seat of spiritual experiences, and the only way to see through them is through inner sight. Pain in the back of that head represents an unwillingness to look deep within for the source of light and truth. I'm like, you know, I was all like disappointed because I'm like, what more do I have to do? I do this doggone work all the time. So but that one spoke to me. Now the back. Here's the back. The spy. The spy represents the support you think you have in life and your alignment with those supportive forces. A curved spine or scoliosis represents a misalignment with life. Spasms represent an unwillingness to accept the support that is there. The shoulders. Now, this is part of my medicine right here. Shoulders represents burdens and responsibility. Frozen shoulders, for example, a complete unwillingness to shoulder your responsibilities in life, especially your own life. Pain and dysfunction to various degrees represents various of degrees unwillingness to be responsible. Moving forward in life sometimes requires that you put your shoulder to the wheel to overcome inertia. The gallbladder channel traverses the shoulders and indicates courage or the lack of. The back in Chinese medicine is considered to be your yang side, the active, aggressive, lighted side. The back also represents that which is behind you. Very often, we do not see clearly that which is behind us. Back problems generally represent conflict between the urge to move forward and the inertia of an unforgiving past that holds us back. This tension very often separates us from both. From us both, and pain is the result. Louise Hay suggests that backs generally represent support. Mid-back. The mid-back is the link between the shoulder and the lower back. It can be a weak link. As we firm our shoulders and become willing to take the responsibility of our life, we have gathered around us financial and emotional support we need. The lower back, something sneaks us and stabs us in the back. This is a support. This is a blind spot. Not only can we not see it, but it's very difficult to reach. The weak link crumbles. It is the saboteur or the seducer that takes us off our path. Located in this area are the tonification points called shoe points for the liver, the stomach, and the spleen. These organs are responsible for transformation and transportation of the chi energy. These organs are responsible for transformation and transportation of the chi and the free flow of chi in the body. Blockages here affect the entire body and can stop you dead in your tracks. The spleen represents worry or overthinking, and the liver represents anger or base emotion. Both of these can sabotage even the best laid plans. Louise suggests that the mid-back represents guilt and stuck in the past stuff. Woo! Lower back. The lower back represents financial support, emotional support of family and friends, support of God or the universe. The kidneys are located in this area, and the kidney dysfunction and fear, flight, or phobias. A sore lower back may indicate that we have taken on more than we can handle. This is a dysfunction only if it is not the truth. We have indeed taken on too much that would be indicated by to the back, and all we need to do is lighten the load. Chronic lower back ache, though not associated with any trauma, is the one with the metaphysical application and the one related to the kidney depletion. Kidneys are considered to have a central function relative to other organs, since it is where yang qi, it is the qi you are born with and determines your relatively strength in the world. It is considered to be quite difficult to strengthen an already weak chi, but it can be done. Lower back pain is often diminished by strengthening the kidneys. In short, low back pain generally refers to lack of trust in the universe. Woo, to protect and support you. Louise Hay suggests fear of money is indicated. Now, let me just say it now. So one day, this is my lesson with money again. So one day this was more when I had first got laid off, and I was laying in bed. It was Mother's Day. I woke up that morning, and my American Express card was due and coming up soon. And I was thinking, how am I paying my American Express the night before I went to sleep? And I was thinking about things I could do because I love my American Express. I had to pay my bill on time, right? But I guess I got a fear set up in my body. So when I woke up that morning, lower back pain. Oh my God, I couldn't even hardly get up and out the bed. I had to move and switch out the bed because I had so much lower back pain. I looked up Louise Hay and it says financial support, lack of trust in the universe to to supply my needs, to protect and support me. I was like, oh, my God. So I had to go do some work. My lower back showed me that there was still work that I had to do. I'm telling you, this stuff, I can't make this up. Now, some of this stuff I can't pronounce, but I'm going to do my best. C-O-C-C-Y-X, the sacrum, is the seat of self-pity. This is still part of the back, but this is lower than the lower back. There is a fear of asking for help. One would rather sit and feel sorry for oneself than get one's ass and do something. This is called a coccyx. Self-pity. You know, when you right below the lower back, right above the buttocks, and you having pain and you can't hardly move and you can't hardly twist, that's because you have a fear of asking for help. You'd rather sit and feel sorry for yourself than to get your ass up and do something. Whew, this stuff be speaking to me. And my clients be mad when I read this stuff to them. Not mad, mad, but they be like, how did you know? Legs, 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 legs. They're going to start with the hips. Hips represent decisions in life, especially decisions about moving forward. Pain in the hip is a sign of being stuck, unable to make a decision, to see clearly what is needed to be done next. The process of walking requires that we first thrust the hip forward and the leg follows. This is exactly an act of faith on our part, since we are quite literally, initiating a fall to the ground and trusting that our legs will save us. The gallbladder channel traverses the hip, which again represents courage and confidence to move forward. Louise Hay suggests that hip problems represents fear of going forward with a major decision. Hip represents the idea that the next step in your life is important. Pain or discomfort advises you to slow down or stop. Look around. Ask someone for directions. Buy a mat. Know that you are supported. Upper thighs. Thighs are the link between the hips and decisions, and the knees and pride. Knees represent pride, family. Very often when we have made a decision and take the next step, pride gets in the way. What if I look stupid? What if it's not right? What if nobody want to read my book? What if my word is not important? What if it don't work out? Our knees lock up or turn to jelly, and we are prevented from moving forward. The pain that begins in the hips and shoots down the thigh, which is the sciatic nerve, is the separation from our desire and decision to move forward and our fear of falling flat on our ass. Louise Hay suggests that upper thigh problems represent retaining childhood trauma. Childhood trauma. Oof. Knees represent pride. In spiritual practice, this suggests that one must go down before one can rise up, as Jesus did before John the Baptist, before taking up his own ministry. Pride or ego keeps us from surrendering to the will of God or to the universe. In practice, every time we move forward in life or approach change, we approach the unknown. We may feel vulnerable or unsure. We may stand still, stiff knees, resisting the winds of change. It's interesting to know that stiff, sore knees are symptoms of kidney deficiencies. Whose emotion is fear? Rather than admit our fear, we resist it until it overwhelms us. Why knees represent pride, and it's said that pride goes before the fall. Knees can also represent humility, which is the wisdom to be yielding in the face of change. Briefly, knee problems can be said to indicate being stuck, family, being stuck in ego, too proud to bend. Louise Hay suggests that knees represents pride and the ego. So let me just say it. So I'm working on this big deal, and everything around it is surrounded by money. I'm not one to have pain. I don't got pain in my knees, pain in my ankle, pain in my shoulder. I got so much pain when I'm like, what in the world? I'm so like, oh, my God. So, of course, I know all of this is inviting me to go deeper, 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 and deeper. Shin. The shin represents another weak link. Although the shins are mostly bone, the hardest substance in the body, the shins are actually quite sensitive and brittle. Now, I want you to think about this. The hardest substance in the body is quite sensitive and brittle. A slight whack on the shin is not only painful, it weakens the entire body and stops it dead cold. When we have organized ourselves to move forward, to take the next step towards the goal we have set and are in the process of taking, and something comes along and sends us tumbling, it is something we tripped over because we didn't see it, even though it is right there in front of us. In ancient times, the shin pads that worries wore were called greaves. Very often what trips us up is something, the loss of which we haven't properly grieved. Moving forward always means something is left behind. Interesting to note is that the three yin channels of the foot all crisscross at the spleen, representing a confluence, never heard of this word, confluence of worry, anger, and fear. Moving forward is often marked by a jumble of emotional response which needs to be sorted out, especially if we're resisting. Louise Hay suggests that problems are fear of future, not wanting to move forward. So that's what the shin represents. So mostly everything with the legs, the feet, the ankles, it's all about us moving forward, the hips and the fear. So it doesn't mean that you may lack, or it could be a big deal happening and it's so amazing to you and it can cause the fear to come up about stuff from your childhood, just all kinds of stuff. Healing is something, I tell you. Ankles represent flexibility, which is important as one navigates the twists and turns of life. Stiff, painful ankles mean that change is difficult for you. Maybe you are one who digs in your heel and resists moving forward. The more life forces change upon you, the deeper you dig in. A broken ankle is a good sign to develop some flexibility in your life. Louise Hay suggests that ankles represent mobility and direction. Feet. Our feet represent our connection to Mother Earth. Sore, swollen, numb, or painful feet represent the state of relation with our mother, Mother Earth, and our base energy. Let me say that again. Our feet represent our connection with Mother Earth. Sore, swollen, numb, or painful feet represent the state of our relationship with our mother, Mother Earth, and our base energies. While it is legs that carry us forward into life, it is the feet that actually make contact with the ground and can stop any advances or at least make it difficult. In modern society, with this asphalt, concrete, and high rises, we lose touch with earth and its energies. This may be reflected in our relationship to the one who gave birth to us. Separation can really cause real pain. All the leg, yin and yang channels meet and flow into each other in the toes. This is an area of high energy and strong effect on the body. This is an area where strong energies are transitioned. So our contact with mothers, Mother Earth, and our base energy is always ambivalent. We want to draw closer to that love, but at the same time, move away on our own course. In my experience, she says, the feet often store toxic energies. A lot of times we do when we hold on to grief or resentment. As far away from the heart as possible, this means in the feet, often these are the issues that go all the way back to our childhood. Lacking the tools to effectively release grief or resentment, the body stores it like it stores fat over time. More and more toxic energies are stored here and fill up the receptacle. In many cases, the entire leg can become involved and the waste starts leaking back into the system. This is a very serious situation indeed that can lead to amputation, blood disorders, and even death as the body struggles to protect the heart. Metaphysically, it becomes clear that the space you are standing in is painful. The key to move on, stop dwelling on the past, release or transform whatever it is that keeps you emotionally standing still. Louise Hay suggests that feet represents our understanding of ourselves, our life, and our others, and toes represents the details of the future. Whew. Feet, feet family. The throat. The throat represents our will and our ability to communicate, both with others and with ourselves. Sore throats, lump in the throat. Tumors all represents difficulty in saying what we want to say. Lumps, both physical tumors and those that are non-manifest, are our willful attempts to block free expression of emotion and our identity. The throat is another one of those weak links that can seduce or sabotage you from your past. The throat is the channel between the head and the heart. In Chinese medicine, it is said the heart houses the mind, especially its connection with the emotion of joy and the expression of love for ourselves and for others. Have you ever had a great idea, gotten your body motivated, putting your heart in it only to say something completely stupid, which makes a mess of things? Have you ever felt the urge to say something complimentary and suppressed it? Have you ever just blurted out something that just seems to bypass the brain? How often does a careless or ill-chosen word create havoc in your life? Where this comes from is all the things you have not said over the years that get stuck in the throat, needing to get out. And out they come, one way or the other. Well, I tell you, I've been in all those situations. I was sitting in a meeting with my, I used to own the American Family Insurance Company. And I was sitting in a meeting, don't know why I said this, don't even know where this came from. So our manager said, how come we're not getting homeowners insurance the way we used to? And so the room was quiet. We in a mixed group, and Mama, and I don't know where this came from. I don't say stuff like this. I'm not a black and white person. I don't go through, you know, that just not something that I personally do. Now, I just don't know where these words came from out of my mouth, because these black people don't have good credit. I can't believe I said that. I looked around. I mean, the room got still. The white people was quiet. Even the black people was quiet. I looked like, who just said that? That did not come out my mouth. So I know that I blurted that out in a meeting family. I don't even know where that came from, because I don't say stuff like that. All emotions are designed to express, even the ones we judge to be negative, especially the ones we judge to be positive. Louis Hay calls the throat an avenue of expression, a channel of creativity, a power place. Problems indicate an inability to speak up for oneself, swallowed anger, stifled creativity, refusal to change. Thyroid problems indicate difficulty in analyzing, digesting, and assimilating the communication between the head and the heart. Here go the breast family. The chest area represents the feminine principle of nurturing and nourishing the connection with the breath of life. As it flows through the lungs in men, and pain or discomfort not associated with any organ or vessel represents a disconnection from the feminine principle. Breast envy may exist in men, the desire to connect with the feminine side, the same way penis envy is said to exist in women, the desire to connect with the masculine side. In Chinese medicine, the front is considered the yin. The chest is the confluence of the three most important kinds of energy, that nourish the body, the zhang qi from the lungs, the jing qi from the spleen, and the yong qi from the kidneys. Now, I might didn't pronounce any of those words right, but y'all know what I'm talking about, right? From the kidneys. Breast problems represent a denial of the mother feminine principle to nourish the self and to nourish others. So usually when we have breast issues, it's usually a feeling of insecure as a woman. Louise Hay suggests that the breasts represent mothering and nurturing. Cyst lumps represent over-mothering. Solar plexus is said to be the seat of the ego. Ooh, and individuation. Some call this the negative ego. In general, this area represents the conflicts in your life. The pain or the discomfort in the diaphragm area represents unresolved conflict. Chinese medicine, pain in this area indicates liver stagnation, usually associated with anger. There's so much anger, huh, y'all? The stomach represents digestion, not only of food and physical nutrients, but of new ideas, new ways of doing things, accepting change of any kind. The stomach is nothing more than a big, flexible bag of muscle whose job is to ripen and rot whatever is put into it. That is, its job to break down what is put into it in a form that the body can deal with. By adding hydrochloric acid, hormones, enzymes, and bowel, which reduces every soul muscle into a morsel, into an undifferentiated mass called simultaneously, it rocks back and forth, swishing and swilling the mess until it is liquefied and able to pass through the small pyloric valve into the small intestine where the actual absorption of nutrients mostly takes place. Metaphysically, when we come upon a new idea or a new way of doing things, the process is similar. First, we must swallow the idea, either in whole or in small bite-sized morsels. We break it down into a form we can handle and finally absorb that which we need to nourish ourselves in the same way that a bad diet poisons the body. Toxic ideas, express emotions, resistance to change can have a poisoning effect in the stomach. In Chinese medicine, long-standing emotional disharmony is seen as a primary cause of disease. Strengthening the spleen, the stomach, which between them are responsible for transforming food and water into qi and transporting it through the body, is seen as a key strategy to deal with almost any disease. Metaphysically, we need to nourish ourselves every day. Just as we need to eat nourishing food, just as the physical body needs nourishment to grow and to carry on its daily activity, so do the emotional, mental, and spiritual bodies. Metaphysically, wellness is not accomplished by a change in diet alone. Louise Hay suggests that the stomach holds nourishment, digests ideas. Problems there indicate dread, fear of the new, and an inability to assimilate the new. So when you think about the stomach, I think about so many people, you know, being a salesperson. I remember when people would buy big homes, million-dollar homes, and coming from, you know, maybe $100,000 or $60,000 house to maybe a $300,000-$400,000 house, or moving out of a lower-level car to a higher-level car, how many times the stomach in those people would hurt. I remember one time when I was helping a lady close a million-dollar deal and assisting her in her process. She stayed sick in her stomach the whole process because sometimes the fear, and the fear shows up in our stomach. So, I mean, I'm not going to read the whole, all these different things, but I just wanted to go over a few things with you so that you can really understand and touch the different parts of the body, how emotionally these things affect our body. Emotionally, our body is being affected every day by the things that we still hold on to, and most of it is anger, and most of it is fear. When I read most of everything, it has something to do with associating with fear and anger. So I want you to think about where in your life are you constantly having something to come into your life that keeps showing you a symptom in your body? So right now I got all this pain in my body, which is unusual for me. I don't usually have pain. But that's okay, because my pain is what? It's showing me to go in now. Pain. Look, pain means pay attention inward now. And it's inviting me to go deeper into my healing process because I'm ready to go to another level. I ask God to take me to another level, but I got to do the work. And I want you to manifest. I want you to marinate on that. What in your life is showing you right now where you need to go deeper? Think about it. What comes up for you? What comes up for you? And where in your body is it expressing? Maybe it's a light pain. Maybe it's not pain yet. But what in your life is expressing that it needs you, is that's inviting you to go deeper? And that's what I want us to do. And yesterday and today's conversation is about inviting us to go deeper, to heal. Healing is an interesting journey. It's a beautiful one on the other end. So I want you to think about that today, that as we move through this day, where in your life is asking you to go deeper? And just like Oprah said, it's an invitation for us to sit still and ask ourselves, what is the divine revealing to us right now in this situation? We heard Jerome Brass come on in. I read the letter to you that he wrote to his cancer. He didn't have cancer. He had HIV and brain kidney failure. And it was those painful processes that invited him to go deeper. Now, I don't want to go that level of pain to learn. I want mine to get to the point when it show up, I'm like, okay, what? I'm opening my eyes. But it's okay if we have to let it get that to that level for us to learn. Because now he's the soul medicine man. His healing became the medicine for us. His healing became my medicine. And so I just want you to think about those things as you move through this day. And if you have any questions, comments, or concerns, that's my message for today. I really want us to think about that. As we move to the next level, as we accelerate to the next level, and fears and things and emotional stuff start rising in our body, I want us to be able to allow it to move past our body and heal and move forward. Are you being invited to heal deeper? If so, and you want to make a comment, well, you had a question, *6 if you're on teleconference. And if you're on Blog Talk, just press 1. All right, family, I just wanted to see if we had any questions because I know I may have been reading fast, and sometimes I can be a fast reader. And I wanted to make sure you really was absorbed in the information. Good morning. Good morning, 617-6439. Hello.
My phone did something funky. I'm sorry. Janine?
Oh, so you don't have, yeah, you don't have a question or a comment?
I guess it must be spirit because I've been wanting to talk to you for ever since last week. So spirit must have pressed a button for me.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. But what I really wanted to talk to you is more on a private level. So I was just wondering if there was a way that I could contact you or you could contact me.
All right. I'll give you my number. It's 773.
Oh, 1 second. I'm sorry, Janine. I stepped out of the room because of the TV. 1 second. Okay. Wait, honey. Wait. Okay. Go ahead, Janine.
773. Hello? 447.
5591. 5591. Okay. Thank you, Janine. This is Sheba, by the way.
Hey, Sheba. How are you?
I'm okay. So when is the best time for me to contact you?
Kramer's during the day is a good time, you know. So whenever you feel led, just give me a call, okay?
Okay, thank you so much, honey.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right, y'all know I love the babies. All right, family. Let me check. Well, I don't even put up the Blog Talk. I mean, not the Blog Talk, the teleconference. So if anybody on teleconference, *6. All right, family, I want to thank you all for tuning in and going, you know, being with me this week because I don't even understand. I'm barking upon the sunrise service this Sunday, and I'm like, wow, I can't believe I don't got no time to be feeling like this. Good morning, Carla LaVoe Hawkins. Carla.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Did your phone do the same thing?
Girl, I was on mute on my side. I forgot. I sent you a text. I was like, this is wow. Like, wow. Because I have been struggling with this upper respiratory and a constant cough, and I'm like, okay, God, what are you telling me? Why is this keep showing up? And then my son called me yesterday and said that he was having some health issues, and he went to the doctor, and his EKG was alarming to them. So I was like, okay, God, you know, because he said, I got good news and I got bad news. I'm fully, he's got full acceptance into his law program. And he said, but I'm dealing with some health issues. And so I'm like, okay. And then you came on today with all with this plethora of knowledge and wisdom. So I thank you, my sister. And we will talk.
Okay. Later. Do you want to hear what upper respiratory mean, or you want to hear it later?
Yeah, that'd be great.
And then, well, I'll just give you a small clippet. Go ahead.
Okay. Go ahead.
I'll just give you a small clippet of the upper respiratory and what the cough means. But when you were talking about your son, I was feeling that he had feelings of anxiety came through spirit in me, said, and
yeah,
a lot of anxiety.
Yes, 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 he does.
So we got to get him to figure out relaxation techniques. But for the upper respiratory, too much going on at once, mental confusion, disorder, hurts, having let go of some things in the past, holding in angry words, not really feeling unable to express oneself. And I don't know if you want me to go on because it's quite a bit.
and that's fine.
And so that's pretty much. Amen. So I'll send you the affirmation, what they say for just to, when you start feeling. And a cough is a feeling and a deep need to make a point, a depression, something that's really giving you a feeling of unworthiness, fearing where you must go in order to, some kind of decision that you got to make. And this,
mm-hmm.
this decision is causing you to feel feelings of unworthiness. And it's giving you a feeling of depression, and it's making you not feel worthy right now. And that's what the cough represents.
Okay. All right.
So you might know what all that means for you. Okay.
I'll receive that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes.
All right. And I'll send you all the information. This comes from Louise Hay book, also a book called The Alchemy of Healing. Is another book. So I'll send you the different information if you want to just, you know, have it for your own references.
I do.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Any more questions,
Good
comments,
morning.
Concerns? Good morning, beautiful.
Thank you. This is Claudette. And I must say, you read me, girl. I don't know if a lot of people knew, but I was in the bed 8 days filled with congestion chest, filled with mucus, and I was going through some things when I stopped to figure out why and got into the emotions of it. I knew why I had no energy. I was just sick. I was filled with remorse. I didn't feel supported. A lot of things. I was planning this 90th birthday party for my mom, and all of the promises and things people said, I couldn't see them. And for me, it became overwhelming. 8 days, I laid in this bed and made plans while I'm laying down. Still, the stuff had to go on. I was in it to win it. And so I couldn't, even though I wasn't feeling good, couldn't breathe. Oh, it was awful. And had not been like that in years. But then I had a conversation with you, Janine, and also another spiritual sister. And they were just showing me what's going on. I'm a Louise Hayes fan, but I didn't have the energy to even go look up and see what's wrong. I just knew I was feeling bad. I didn't want to be bothered. I couldn't do it. So I must say, once I got that understanding of who I am in my body once again and started enacting, it was like I was laying in the bed and started thinking about these things, and I said, you are healed, Claudette. You are well. You are the child of the Most High. And it was like, from that point on, I was able to renew my energy, strength, the coughs are gone. And I must say, we pulled off a heck of a party for Mom this past Saturday. So I'm smiling, grinning, looking forward to the sunrise service where I will see others with testimonies how God can take you through. You just got to get still and figure out what it is you need to do and leave the others out. And you will be healed. So thank you, Janine. Appreciate my whole Love Journey family. I love y'all and look forward to seeing you this weekend. Thank you.
Right.
I'm complete.
Thank you, Claudette. All right. If you have a question on your own blog talk, press 1 on teleconference *6. All right, family. Well, I just want to remind you that your body talks. Your body talks. And we have to be in communication with the hearing of our body. Every cell in our body has a mind. And we can heal our bodies. We can heal our lives. We can heal our lives holistically if we just do the work.
Good morning. I'm in resistance. Meditation today for Deepak actually goes hand in hand all that you were saying. Because it was unabounded awareness. You need to ask yourself, as Oprah said, what is this? What am I here to learn? And then you go deeper into finding out what part that aches and you're aware of it. And then you go deeper and find out, when was the last time I felt? Then you go into investigation, research, the we say, metaphysics. Physically, what does that pain mean? And then you start working on that. And meditation, actually, will allow your body to heal itself. I was reading in Wound Business, and we are humans, and we don't like pain, and we always try to mask it. For example, we'll be women, you're in cramps, so men who have injuries, painkillers are our mode of resolving the pain. And in that book, it was stated that, and you said it too, pain allows us and shows up in our body because there's something that needs to be healed in our spiritual level. We are spiritual beings having a human experience, and we have to rise above. A lot of times, the human experience to get where we're supposed to go, get into that spiritual consciousness where we control and manifest anything and everything we want instantaneously. But we have to become, we have to become aware of what mechanisms or tools we are actually using. The thing that happened to me a couple of months ago, so I actually cracked my rib in an accident. And I have not felt any pain. So ever. So the first day it happened, I did. And, of course, some other things happened, and I went unconscious. And the experience that was in my consciousness unconsciously was amazing. But when I got out of it, they were trying to give me painkillers and all that, but I was feeling no pain. It was as if inside of that being out of it, I refused to acknowledge that I was hurt. They had been trying. I had 2 bottles of painkillers at home, and I've never, ever taken them. When I get a toothache, I know that my body can heal. So I instantly pray, I declare to heal. I love Louise Hay because she actually takes it to a metaphysical level where you can actually see what part of you needs to be not sick, but better. An unbounding awareness is what it is. Being aware with no limits, no judgment, no nothing, just opening yourself to what the universe is trying to do. And I love the fact that you always tell people, ask questions. And every person that I've ever met who is a trainer or a coach will ask certain questions. And if we open ourselves to be willing to hear the answer and not judge it, we can get that. And thank you for telling me about headaches. Especially, what's that headache that everybody just starts
migraine.
Migraine. Thinking about that, because my cousin, who's now gone on, it's like the worst headaches. But that was years ago when I was not here. I didn't know about all this stuff because I would have helped her. She actually was so talented. She was a writer. She has notebooks and notebooks of writing her daughter has. But she never could get past that migraine headache. Fear. Not believing or trusting in yourself. And that's who she was. I wish I had known this 20 years ago. Perhaps I'd still be here. And so I think nothing is by accident. If you're here on this line and you're listening to this information, take it in. Do your own research. Follow out. Believe your pain. I think I'm going to pass this on to my powerful retail. We need to do something about it. I've given her oil. We've done Reiki. But she has to believe. You got to be able to believe that you can heal yourself. My minister always says, doctors are here to make you aware. But they can't heal you. They can actually maybe make it feel better. But the true essence of what needs to be healed, a doctor can't fix it for you. That's my belief. Now, I go to a lot of things, and then I pull out my metaphysical book, and I do whatever I have to do. But anyway, I appreciate you doing it is unbounded awareness. Having an awareness of your consciousness. A flow of your consciousness. Unjudging consciousness. That's what it's all about. Take that spiritual level to it. Be blessed. I'll see you guys tomorrow. Have a good Saturday. I am complete.
All right. Thank you, Rosa J. All right, family, she's talking about the Deepak and Oprah's meditation that she does every day. Check out her page, Levitate Till You Meditate. Find out all the details and listen in for the meditation. It's powerful. I'm still stuck on day 5. Worthiness is our birthright. Worthiness is our birthright. I love that. I could have stopped right there when Oprah said that. Worthiness is our birthright. And so I want to leave you in a word that they had wrote in that one, and that one's called The Fulfillment of Our Desires. And it says something really interesting to me that addresses our self-worth, and it impacts our unfulfilling desires. They say your true self, your core consciousness is divine. You are pure light, love, joy, and fulfillment. You deserve happiness and the fulfillment of your desires because happiness and fulfillment are your essential nature. It's about experiencing your inner self and knowing your true worth. As our experience of our real self becomes stronger, so does our awareness that we are deserving of all that is good. You don't have to do anything to be deserving. I want you to hear this. You don't have to do anything to be deserving because you already deserving, family. And so many times we feel like we got to do something or show up a certain way or we got to be perfect to be deserving. We are deserving just the way we are. Just the way we are. We are so deserving. And I want you to know that as we move away from the call today, know that you are deserving. Nobody can do it quite the way you can do it, family. Nobody can do what you've been called to do on this planet
You are a gift from God. And what you do with your life is a gift back to God. Today, I want you to remind you to choose love. I want to remind you to choose love. Love is the only choice, family. And I also want to remind you, don't just dream your God-sized dream. But live your God-sized dream. Have an amazing, fun-filled, love-filled day today, family. And know that everything is already all right. This is Zap, family. Have a great day.